Hello, hello, hello. Motivational Monday with yours truly, Pastor Kenneth Bonnet. God bless you on this wonderful Monday evening. This is the day that the Lord has made. I chose to be glad and rejoice all in it, irregardless to my health condition and the circumstances surrounding my life. I made a conscious decision to rejoice all in this day. Why? Because it is the present that God gave me. Amen. I hope you feel the same. Glory be to God. Well, I'm so glad that you're tuned in to us today, and we're going to have a wonderful program. I'm looking forward to talking to you, and yes, even you. That's right. I'm looking forward to talking with all of you. That's right. If you're tuned in, if you've called in today, I want to have a conversation with you about the topic commitment. Amen. That means you don't have to worry about having the right answer. You just have to just say what you have to say, and that be that on that. Amen. But we're going to have a conversation about the word commitment. Amen. That's our subject for the month. We're talking about commitment. Amen. We're going through the Bible, dealing with things concerning commitment. But I'm telling you, I just want to talk about some things and just really get into the word commitment, what it means, what you must have to be committed, what you must do to be committed, the importance of being committed, because there's a lot of things that we commit into doing. Amen. To those of us that live a less than perfect life, we committed to do the things that we were doing when we was out there, especially those of us that lived outside the church rules. That's gonna feel like that. The rules of God. When we were committed, we were committed into getting that girl phone number. That's right, fellas. Yes, sir. We were committed to trying to get them 7 digits. All right. Yeah, we were committed, and we did all we had to do. We said what we had to say. We thought of all the flattering words to put a smile on her face, to make her think that whatever that it was going to benefit her to give her to give away her telephone number to us. Amen. So we were charming. We were, you know, we said all the sweet nothings. Amen. Because we were committed.
You know what?
Amen. Amen.
Pastor, now, going back to my young days, I didn't have to say much. I didn't have to say much.
Some people were smoother than others. You know, you were that cat, Daddy Williams. You know, they were saying, hey, do you want my phone number? You know, I mean, you know, everybody ain't able like that, but you know, you had to be committed to take it.
Amen.
Amen. But you get the point. We was committed to doing a whole lot of things. When, you know, to those that had sticky fingers, you know, they were committed to looking both ways to see if they can get away.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, y'all know what I'm talking about. To those that was committed to cheating on the test, they had to make sure they knew where the teacher was so they can get the answer that they didn't study for. There's a lot of stuff we committed in this world. Amen.
Now, I'm gonna tell you.
But we're gonna talk about some righteous commitment, you know, as well as some unrighteous commitment, because we know some people were committed not to do right, because some people, you know, and all of us may have one or two of them in our family members or in our circle somewhere at some point of time, and we like. We see them coming, we're like, man, wonder what lies they're going to tell today, what stories they're going to come up with now, because they were committed to tell something far-fetched from the truth, and we knew it. We knew it. You know, when you saw them coming, you were bracing yourself for whatever excuse they had, you know. If you had a group of people that y'all hung out together with, you knew who was going to put in, so that y'all can go and do what y'all were going to do. And you knew who was going to come up with this excuse not to put in. Mm-hmm. And you already know.
Now, Pastor, that's funny you say that. It's funny you say that because, as you know, we just had Memorial Day.
Uh-huh.
And you know my cousin that I effectively named Walona.
Okay.
Walona, love her. That's my cousin.
But uh-huh.
She finds you during the holiday.
Yeah.
What are you cooking?
Find you on
you
holidays,
heard,
birthdays.
You haven't heard from her into 2 days to the cookout. Hey, cuz, what you doing? What you cooking?
Uh-huh.
So she's committed. She's committed to finding me during 2 days prior to cookout. And
uh-huh.
I gotta say for myself, when the gummy worms came out and when you used to go to the grocery store, I was committed to getting a lot of those gummy worms for free. I was. Because they just had that big barrel. They had that big barrel with that little scooper. And I
uh-huh.
ate several gummy worms before got to checkout.
Yeah. You walking through the store just eating what they, you were like, well,
yeah.
They ain't having this bag.
Yeah, but
Lord,
we did
us.
Purchase some. We did purchase some. We purchased some, but when they first came out, you know, I would get a nice handful and walk through that store eating them.
So we committed a whole lot of things, amen, in our lifetime. And I tell you, so you know, we must learn some true commitment. Amen. Did you know that Barack Obama had a quote on commitment?
No.
I know we talked about him, but he has, yeah. Our former president had a quote concerning the word commitment. Amen. It went like this. It says, we the people recognize that we have responsibilities as well as rights, that our destinies are bound together, that a freedom which only asks what in it for me, a freedom without commitment to others, a freedom without love or charity or duty or a protagonism is unworthy of our founding ideas and those who died in the defense. Amen. So he had an understanding that, man, that in order for you to really enjoy freedom, that you need to be committed to love, charity, duty. Amen. Love, charity,
amen,
and duty. Amen. And so,
yes,
so you got to have love in this world. You got to have charity, a giving heart. Amen. You got to be concerned about others and not just yourself. And he said for us to enjoy the freedom that we enjoy as a people, we must have that commitment one to another. Man, that is a very powerful statement. Amen. Amen. And so many others that we can talk about. I seen so many other statements concerning commitment. I tell you, I was shocked to hear that Sammy Davis Jr. had a word on commitment. Amen. Amen. And it was surprising. Amen. But, man, we must challenge ourselves. Commitment is something that is a challenge to each of us, especially if we want to accomplish anything. Anything. Good, bad, right, or wrong. You must have commitment in doing it. Amen. If you want a relationship, you must be committed to that relationship. You must have a dedication to it. You must start off with the idea of winning or succeeding. Amen. And it involves you understanding who you're committed to. Amen. And that's what I love about the Bible. God's word is so powerful that he gives us in his word, and we see commitment. You know, the Bible tells us that all scriptures profit. I like that when and because all scripture profit, God was committed to making sure he gave us enough information on to understanding his character and to understand that he's going to be there committed to us, and all we have to do is be committed to him, and it's going to work out for our good. And so when we, the more we know of the Bible, the more we learn about God's word and God's will, the better we are in the long run. The better we are as individuals, that our communities can be better, our families can be better, our country can be better, as we exercise the things that God has already committed. I love this thing. This one of the scriptures I love is the commitment that God said, and often heard me quote it in the past, and that is, if, it's conditional, if is a big word. And them two letters, IF, is extremely big because it is predicated on your actions, period. And so he said, if my people who are called by my name, that means God not looking for people that don't believe in him to respond to this. He's not looking for people that don't trust him to respond to them. But he's simply looking for those that has called themselves believers, Christians, godly people, godly men or women. Wow. Whether you call yourself an Israelite, whether you call yourself a Nazarite, or anything that surrounds godliness. He said, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves. And that's the first step. The first step is to humble yourself. We find that pride oftentimes, it really does happens before a person falls. Pride really does tear down person. Matter of fact, sometimes if a person wear pride too hard and too much, we begin to resent them, and we look forward to them falling. Now, I know the preacher shouldn't say it like that, but y'all know I'm telling the whole truth, nothing but the truth. That's why when we see villains on television and begin to boast about their conquest, we be waiting on the hero to come in and take them down because of their the way they pride themselves, the way they boast on themselves. And so he said, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray. That word pray is really petition. Petition is a legal term that deals with law. You know, when you petition law, you petition law based on its written constitution. You petition the court based on what the system has said that they would do or uphold. So when you petition, you're saying, hey, the law states this and that, and what has happened goes against this and that, and I need intervention. So he said, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face. Now, seeking the face of God is not seeking the hand of God. Oftentimes, our guilt is that we seek what God can do versus what God has done. Seeking the face of God deals with what God has already done. God has already been good. He's already given you 7 days a week. He's already given you 24 hours a day. He's already given you a reasonable portion of health and strength. He's already done something good in your life. And so he says, seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. That's way many of us get it twisted. Because we say, well, who, me? I ain't wicked. I'm righteous. I do this and I do that. That's boastful. That's pride. You know, unless it lines up with the will of God, the word of God, then it's wicked. Because it's in contrary to what God has said or done. And so he said, then shall I hear from heaven. I forgive their sin, and I heal their land. So a lot of the destruction that's going on in the world today is simply our fault. Why? Because we haven't been committed to humbling ourselves. Wow. That's a pill that's big and hard to swallow, but it's still true. But when we take ownership, then we can have the opportunity to make the difference in our world. Amen? Amen. Let's look and see who's all here on the phone line with us today. Oh, man, quite a few of y'all. See some of y'all that's on the line. You haven't pressed the one. If you'd like to be a part of the conversation, just press the one, and I'll put you in on the conversation. Amen. God bless you. Amen. I definitely want to hear from you today. This subject of commitment is one I definitely want to dive into and really get a response from everyone that's willing. I'm not going to make you. Amen. Not trying to put nobody on the spot.
Amen.
But I just really want a interaction from it. God bless you, Missionary Ken. How you doing?
Doing all right. You say you're going to dive in. Hopefully you got your diving suit and your diving helmet ready.
Well, listen, I already didn't hurt myself, but I ain't trying to hurt myself no more. So, you know, we're going to dive in feet first, not head first.
You know, that's how divers do it. They go feet first, but still they have their diving suit and their diving helmet.
You got some that know how to dive, and, you know, they out there in the coral reefs, and they don't use scuba gear. They're out there. They done learned how to hold their breath for a good period of time, and, man, they just snorkeling. So,
they
going to dive on
it. You also have the Olympic divers that dive straight with their hands down, hands in their head also.
Yeah.
And then they have what's called deep sea divers that, like I said, that use the helmet and the suit.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to let y'all do the deep sea dive, and I'm going to stay on the surface.
Amen.
I'm still recuperating. Amen. As many of y'all know, and I just give a little brief of it. On this past Thursday, most of y'all know I have a lawn service. I was working on one job and it started raining, and I have another assignment that was close by, so I went to look at that assignment, and it was to cut a tree that was leaning on a person's property. And so I went to look at it and saw that it was leaning, and it was going to be an easy to get in there and cut it, what have you. And the rain had subsided, and so, but the ground was still a little wet. Went back there to go ahead and cut it. It looked like a simple job, and it was. But I underestimated, and I didn't take a spotter with me at that time. And normally, you know, when you do certain work, you have somebody paying attention just in case. And this time I didn't. I looked at it and figured that the limbs would fall straight down. But I underestimated because the work was at the bottom of a hill behind this person's home. And so I'm a little more than 14 feet or so up in the air, two stories high. And I cut the first cut and I was going to reposition myself to cut the other limb in portion. And I looked at it and I said, well, I said, it looked like it would fall straight down. The weight of the bark should allow it to fall straight down. And unbeknownst to me at the time that the limb was close enough to the top of the hill that was going to cause the bark to shift position. So it wouldn't fall straight down. And so when I made the cut, a cut and the limbs themselves, the leaves themselves, was already touching the ground. And so because they was bent in a position, it turned the bark towards my ladder. And it hit my ladder about midway below my feet. And by my boots still being a little wet, it threw me forward, and I came off the ladder head first, as if I was diving. I reached out to grab part of the branch to break my fall so that I just wouldn't fall on my head. And some kind of way I flipped it. And I damaged my left shoulder pretty bad now. Hit the ground and bounced right on up. You know, I got right on up, scratched my face on the right side. Happens so quickly, you know, your adrenaline is flowing. So you're more reactive than anything. And so my thing is that, you know, I wasn't going to stay on the ground. I was thankful that I was conscious. And so I got up and I grabbed my saw. And I couldn't grab it, but I could pull it up. So I was just numb. And so I went to try to position myself because I was going to finish cutting it. And then I started feeling tightness in my breathing.
Pastor, let me ask you a question. Okay. Did you have your hard hat on?
No, I don't work with a hard hat.
Okay, well, you're gonna work with a hard hat. You're gonna work with a hard hat because we need you around. So the Success Radio Network will be
getting you. I don't work with a hard hat, but because I normally don't do heavy tree work at all. I do minor work. This was something that should have been simple. My fault was underestimating the gravity fall and my feet being wet still from the dew from the water that was on the grass. I walked down. However, nevertheless, we live.
Pastor Bonnet, why don't you just admit that you love your job so much you fell for it?
Yep, that's it, Ken.
Wow.
Ken, you hit me. That was spot on. Yeah, I definitely fell for the job. And now this time, being 50 plus, the fall wasn't as comfortable as normal. But in the long run, what it ended up doing is it tore the muscles in my bicep. So from my neck down to the forearm, I ended up tearing the bicep muscle and damaging, I don't know what the other one is called. But it's a nerve ending that runs from the back of the part of your top part of your
That's
neck fine. That goes all the way down
Got
to
a song
your
for you.
Fingers. So,
Got a song for you. Just
no
for
song,
you.
No song. No song. Hold on the song. But that's what happened.
I don't want the
song. And so I'm only sharing it with you all for the simple reason is. I'm transparent.
Mm-hmm.
I've always been. As humans, we make mistakes. And that was mine. Accidents happen to anybody. I don't have a problem with sharing my errors, my faults with people because we all live and learn. And as we live and learn, we go through process of development. Now, I'm talking about commitment. And it would be simple for me to say, hey, guys, let's run a rerun or let somebody else speak in my stead because I can say I'm hurt. I've been injured. And it would be easy for me to say, and for the most part, most of you probably wouldn't hold it against me for not continuing ministry for a few weeks. You will say, hey, yeah, you deserve some time off.
Mm-hmm.
But what I want to demonstrate to you all that are listening is a level of commitment that supersedes how you feel. A level of commitment that supersedes how you, because how I feel is irrelevant. The question is, can I do it? Well, obviously, mm-hmm. as you can hear, I can. Because if I couldn't, I wouldn't be able to talk. My speech would be more slurred or anything of that nature. So I wouldn't be coherent. But since mm-hmm. I can and I'm able to talk, since I am willing, I'm going to go through with my assignment. Why? Because I'm committed. This level of commitment, no one but you and God can decide. Period. Why? Because it must be from your heart. It is from my heart. I don't get a paycheck from this. So you can't say it's money driven at all. It is my desire to minister and to encourage others that are listening. When you do for God, God does for you. It's my desire to be that living example. Too oftentimes have we seen people in the past that say, do as I say, but not as I do. I don't want to be that preacher. I want to be the preacher that lead by example. I want you to be able to look at my life and say, yes, he is living the thing that he's preaching. He's not telling us to live one way, and then he lives another way. Years ago, when I was on medication for pre-diabetes, and I was on medication for blood pressure medicine, I was having issues where my knees were swelling, and my blood pressure was up and down, up and down. And I literally got in the pulpit because I was thinking about it one day. And I was thinking about the things that I was teaching. And I literally cried out to God prior to and repented. I said, Lord, how can I teach your people to obey your rules and to obey leadership? When I, who have a doctor's giving them an assignment to do, and I won't do what my doctor has told me to do, how can I teach them leadership if I'm not following leadership? I didn't go to school for medical, but he did. I entrusted him to help lead me into a more healthier situation. So I need to at least try my best to follow the assignment. That means I need to take my medicine on time, when I'm supposed to take it. If I'm going to be committed to God, that means I need to be committed to the things that God has put in my life to help me win, to help me succeed. And so a long time ago, this happened. And so I began to pray, and I think I was about 48 at the time. Roughly, I guess about 48. And I asked God, God, help me on what to do so that I don't turn 50 and be too overweight, that I don't turn 50 on all this medicine, telling people to trust you, but I'm on all this medicine. And my health is jacked up. And so I had to deal with me first. See, this is commitment. And I don't mind telling it because it's the truth. And so I got in the pulpit and I repented before the congregation. Now, they were shocked. They was looking at me like, okay, is it that serious? And for me, it is. Because to live a abundant life in God, we have to follow the rules. We have to go through the commitment. We got to be committed. We have to be the examples. Yes, God can work miracles, you know, and all of these miracles should only be in the place where the blessing is not sufficient. In other words, if the blessing is there to carry you, then exercise the blessing in the right direction. But miracles come when there's no other options. And so so my life began to change then. And as I began to take my medicine right, as I began to exercise more, as I began to be conscious of what I was doing, how much I was eating, my swelling went down off my legs, and they haven't swole back up. And so my health got better. I lost 30 pounds. My A1C level dropped down, and even my blood pressure started leveling off a whole lot better. And so we can accomplish a whole lot when we commit to a process that's designed for us to win or for us to be healthy or for us to live a better life. But we must make a personal commitment to first yourself. You know, that commitment can be to my wife, although it was for my wife, my children, because they don't need someone who they got to take care of, whose primary job was to take care of them. And so I had to humble myself and do the things necessary. And now, here's all honesty. Do I take all my vitamins like I'm supposed to? No. But I do exercise. I do eat better. And I have to remind myself, hey, we're focusing on living a better life. And being saved is not being all so self-righteous and holier than thou. But being saved is being available. What good am I as a preacher if God called me to do a revival, but I wore out the first night because I can't breathe because I'm so overweight? You don't care how gifted I am as a speaker, how much anointing God blessed me to lay hands on the sick and all of that. What good if I can't finish? So, and this is not an indictment to anyone listening to me, but this is a challenge to all that if we are to be who God wants us to be, then we must be committed to living. Am I making sense to anybody, or I'm just talking to us? Now, all your mics are open, I believe.
Making sense.
Because sometimes we just be talking. So am I just talking to us, or am I making sense?
No, you're talking. You're talking real, and I'm just glad you're okay. I'm glad you're okay because you definitely sound a lot better than you did yesterday. You sound a lot stronger today than on yesterday, and that's my happiness right there.
Amen. And I was still, and I was still recuperating, and I'm still recuperating. Make no mistakes about it. I'm still recuperating. My brother told me I wasn't sounding as well, and I talked to him prior to, because I was gonna bring him on the program tonight, but he's on another assignment right now, and I was gonna have him to go forward, because this is motivational Monday. Amen. And I don't need to be motivated, y'all, talking like, this is motivational Monday. This is about lifting you up, and I don't need to be putting you down and trying to lift you up. I don't need to be making you feel like, oh, is he really happy? Is he enjoying life? Is he happy about Jesus? Come on. No, I don't need to be sounding like that at all. You need to be, because you can't see me, but you can hear me. And you need to feel the energy through this phone line, through these airwaves. You need to feel that energy that this is real. You don't need to be trying to figure out, do he really believe that himself? Because, man, he sounds, I don't know then. If it ain't working for him, you know. No, you need to know that I am a true eyewitness that serving the Lord do pay off. Trusting God makes the difference. Believing God makes the difference. Period.
Amen.
I can tell you how my wife on the line tonight, she can tell you. For me to slow down, they make me slow down. They make me stop. When I had my surgery for my mouth, my wife stayed on me. Sit yourself down somewhere. You just had surgery. I believe in going. I believe in doing. And so,
yeah, I remember that. I remember that day. And I said, you got Barry White?
Oh, yeah.
Right out of surgery. Now, I just knew he was going to take off. I just knew it. I said, okay. Next thing I know, I said, I'm Barry White. And it was the pastor.
I felt good. I just couldn't tell.
And this is what, and the pastor also, I had a doctor's appointment the next day, and he wanted to take me to the doctor. I didn't get fussed. I got fussed at because everybody called me. I had like 10 people tell me he need to sit himself down. He ain't going to take me anywhere. I told him, you're not taking me anywhere.
I told him, you got a doctor.
You have a head injury.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not saying was over there in the ditch somewhere. I had to go there, but you're not going to drive me and both of us gone. You got to say this.
My head ain't hurting. My head is not hurting. I keep telling them that, but they think my head hurt. My head do not hurt. My neck hurt. My head don't. But here's the thing. I'm thankful for a loving wife.
Absolutely.
That irregardless to what I say, that she's not willing to just accept anything. And I ain't mad at her. I ain't mad at her now. But I told her, you know, she used to ask me, when we got married, I injured my back in 92. We got married in 96, January 1st. So I had been in therapy for 18 months on my back. So I was used to dealing with pain. I told her then that I'm committed to being a good husband and a provider. I must provide for my children, and I must provide for my wife. Commitment. I'm talking about commitment. We're still talking about commitment, y'all. And she's asked me, how can you do it? How can you preach and work a job? Because this ain't the only business I had. Back then, I had a detailing business. When we first got together, and my because of the back injury, my knee went out on me, and I had to have surgery on the knee. And I prayed and asked God to give me another business, and he gave me photography. And I learned the business in 6 months, and I was a competitor, a good competitor. I made good money from it, too, real good money. But she's asked me, she said, how can you stay this busy? I said, because I have an obligation, and I'm committed to fulfilling my obligation. I'm not a lazy man. My family got to eat. The bills got to get paid, period. There was no discussion for me. And so, and I'm committed to God, first and foremost. And so if I can run around, make money for me, surely I can run around and minister the gospel for Jesus Christ, because if it wasn't for him giving me strength to do any of those things, I would be able to do nothing. And so, because he's given me strength to do all those things, I did it. And one day I just found myself no longer hurting. Still got the L4, L5. They're still compressed, as far as I know. I just didn't have no pain no more. And so from time to time, prior to that, I had a motorcycle accident where a car cut in front of me, throwing me from the motorcycle. And I did land it on my head, but I did have my helmet on. And
all right.
They gave me 11% disability in my neck. So from time to time, my neck would tense up on the left side. It would lock up, and I had to learn what two medicines to take at the same time to stop it. And so I learned how to live with the pain, and so that I can keep on. And, man, that's what I'm saying about commitment.
Somebody
need some coffee.
It's okay. That was first
I'm
lady. It's all right.
No, that was
That was first lady.
Hello.
It's okay. Hello, who's
somebody
that?
Somebody trying to say something.
Hi. Hi, evening, everybody. Hi,
good evening.
This is Goddess. I just wanted to say, first and foremost, hello, everyone. I just said you just hit on a very good point to make, you know, with commitment. And a lot of times I related so much with what you just said, because I'm the type of person when people, they're like, oh, does she ever stop? You need to sit down somewhere or get rest. But it's like, you know, when you make that point, we all were committed to things in our lives and they haven't always been right, you know. And I'm a very transparent person as well. And due to the things in my life that I feel that I was so committed to before I found God and before I knew, you know, my true calling and my purpose in my life, I was committed to being a mess. You know what I mean? I was committed to being the biggest, you know, I wanted to run up the crime rate. I was committed to being angry. I was committed to everybody feeling the pain that I felt. I put so much energy in that. And, you know, the funny thing is, when you're committed to being negative and to do negative things, it's so easy. You don't got to think about it. It's not complicated. But when
I came into the true calling of my life and I understood, you know, who God was, and I gave my life to Christ, and I decided, you know what, I was committed to now being the person that God has called me to be. So it's so funny because nobody said anything when I was committed to doing all the wrong, when I was out staying up all wee hours of the night doing things that I shouldn't have been and doing this. But the minute I was committed to, you know, sharing my story, going all over and traveling and doing all those things, it was like, stop. Yes, ma'am. Stop or sit down. And I'm like, no, you know, the same commitment I felt that I put into being destructive is the same one I'm going to put into being inspiring, you know, and to spreading and showing, you know, what God has done in my life. And I have to keep going, you know. And so I just wanted to speak and say that's such a true statement that you said. It's hard, you know, it's hard for me to sit down. I just feel like I can't, you know, God has been so good and he has done so much that I have to testify and I have to do what it is he's called me to do, you know. But I always find it so ironic that, you know, when you're doing wrong and you're committed to that, you know, no one really says too much, or it's not that much of a hardship, or it's not hard to do, you know. And I just always tell myself, you know, humble, like you, and you also spoke on being humble. You know, being humble will take you so far, being humble and not being afraid to show humility. So, you know, commitment is very important in so many aspects, but I just wanted to speak on that point that you just made, sir.
Thank you so very much. All of that's just good, because going back to Proverbs chapter 16, verse 3, and I just want to read these words again so that we'll be on the same page. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 3, it says, commit thy works. That means the things that you do. Work is what you do, not what you talk about. See, a lot of people do a lot of talking about stuff, but what you doing? What you really do?
Amen.
Work unto the Lord. Capital L, mm-hmm. capital O, capital R, capital D. That's the all-sufficient one. The one who never lost the battle. He said, commit thou works unto the Lord, and thy faults shall be established. The reason why sometimes some things can't come out, we're thinking on trying to do this and trying to do that. The reason why some of those faults don't work themselves out, because we're not working it for the Lord. I'm going to say that one more time.
Yeah, that's good.
The scripture says, hear me well now, hear me real well. This is what it says. Commit your works unto the Lord. Capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. And whenever I see that, I make sure you understand that means the all-sufficient one. That's the whole triune being. Amen. And so he said, and that's a conjunction. So that means what you're trying to do, it must be in line with pleasing him. Because steal and say that's for God, because God is not about stealing. I can't commit fornication and say that's for the Lord, because God is not with fornication. So the works that I do must be things that God can gain credit for, that God is pleased with. So that means what I am committed to doing must be lined up with the kingdom of heaven. Then he said, and thou, so in the same thing, so as I'm working for the Lord, things that I'm desiring to do, the things that I'm aspiring to do shall be established. Now, do I need to break down the word established? Or do we understand established means made, it to be manifested?
Yes.
Something that is established has manifest. Amen. Mm-hmm. A business that's established is present. Amen. Not past tense, present. It's established means it's current. So he says, if I commit my works, the things that I do, not the things that I'm talking about. See, a lot of us do a lot of talking.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm grinding to do this. I'm grinding to do that. That grinding is, I'm saying, I'm trying. But trying to do something and doing something can be two different things. Because if you're not moving in the direction of what you're saying you're trying to do, then you're not trying. I can't be trying to push the car and I'm standing in front of the car. I might be able to pull it, but I can't push it standing in front of it. Am I making sense to anybody?
You make it make sense. You can't do it in front of
Okay. Yes, okay. So committing my works is doing something, and works doing what's needed. Because sometimes it's not about what I want to do. It's about what needs to be done.
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of us, sometimes we our error is, well, I ain't feeling that. It ain't about what we feel. Do it need to be done? There's a scripture in the Bible that says, whatsoever your hands find this to do, do. What do that mean? It means I can't be at church saying, "Ooh, look at that paper. Somebody need to pick that paper up." And we all seen somebody do that before. We might be guilty of ourselves. Somebody need to pick that paper up. No, I see the paper. I got two good hands. I see it. It's not going to hurt me or cost me nothing to bend over, pick the paper up, and put it in garbage. But what we do is we pass it on to somebody. So what we are saying in essence, and y'all hear me real well, hear the preacher. When we behave that way, what we're saying is we're not committed to that cause. Because we know the church need to be clean and need to be kept up. But we didn't take ownership, so we didn't do it. We passed on the obligation to someone else. And it'd be one thing if we saw one of the little kids and said, "Hey, pick that up," and made sure it got done. But we didn't even do that. We sat there and we became part of the problem instead of part of the solution. See, in our world today, and I learned this a long time ago, what's so funny about it is it happened in a situation. I just came back to the Lord. I had just recently rejoined the church and committed my life to the Lord again and began to answer my call to ministry. But I'm one of those people, don't discriminate against me on my job. And I was very outspoken on issues of discrimination. And if I felt like my white counterparts were discriminating against me in any way, shape, or form, I gave them the what for. I'm letting them know that wasn't going to happen. And that's just what it was now. Because I believed in equality. And that means we all the same. And so anytime I had that issue, so there was something going on at my job at the time, and I had some of the other managers, and I was a manager too, been in management a long time, so department manager. And so I'm saying to, at this time, I was promoted up to front-end assistant manager. And so I'm an assistant manager, and the DM is in the store, and we had some issues in the store. And so what I did is I felt like they were trying to shift the blame. And so what I did was I exposed all what they did wrong, and I just went off. And I didn't give the man a chance to speak, say anything. And I said, "You want to come at me?" And I ran down the list. It was like, you know, like a boxing. I gave him one, two, and uppercut. And so he got quiet. He didn't say nothing. And I walked away. And for a quick moment, I felt proud that I shut him up. But the Holy Ghost, y'all, that's why you have to have the Holy Spirit. The Holy Ghost convicted me that moment and says, just because you were right, you still wrong. He said, you wrong because you didn't have a right to talk to him like that. I said, but everything I said, Lord, was right. Before doing wrong, and they trying to get over. He said, but you didn't have to talk to him like that. Mm-hmm. I said, but Lord, I just had to let them know. Lord said, but you don't have to be under correction, not conviction.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And he said, go and apologize right now. Ooh, Lord have mercy. I did not want to go. I tell y'all, in my mind, I don't mm-hmm. want to fight. Now I got to go apologize.
Mm-hmm.
And I went and I called him by his name. I can't remember his name at the moment. I called him by his name. I said,
so-and-so.
I said, I'm a born-again Christian.
Mm-hmm.
And God told me I was wrong to you that way. And, sir, I want to apologize. He said, no, you don't need to apologize. You were right. I said, yes, sir, I do have to apologize because I had no right to speak to you because you didn't do nothing wrong. I had no right to speak to you in anger. I had no right to speak to you that way. And if I'm going to be a good Christian, I must do what's right.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to ask your forgiveness for talking to you the way I did. And all of a sudden, the whole thing shifted. He mm-hmm. kind of brought me close to him. He said, can I share something with you? I said, yes, sir. He said, in this world, there are two types of people. You know what they are? And I said, no, sir. What are they? He said, they are those that are part of the problem, and then there are those that's part of the solution. He said, so many people in this world can see the problem. He said, what I'm looking for is those that can bring solution to the table. That changed my whole world.
Mm-hmm.
That changed my whole world, period. That elevated me. Mm-hmm. That became okay. part of my philosophy. That changed mm-hmm. me because it let me know it's not just good for me to sit there and complain about what's wrong and talk about what ain't right and who did this and who did that. What mm-hmm. am I doing to make mm-hmm. the difference? What can I do to make the difference? And that changed me. And so my level of commitment changed that day. But it happened because I humbled myself to repent, even when I thought I was right.
Mm-hmm.
The commitment has nothing to do with how we feel. Commitment has everything to do what's right.
What's wrong?
That's commitment. What's going to make it better? Am I making sense to anybody?
Amen.
And it
gives you your power back. You know, I'm sure a lot of us can relate because, you know, your response, you can't control a lot of things in life, but I always live by your response is your responsibility. How we choose to respond to things, we can control. We can control that, you know, and a lot. And when we're committed and being the solution and not the problem, one thing I learned, you know, from coming from a lifestyle of being on the streets, you want to fight and you want to, I'm going to show you and I'm going to get my point across. But when you learn how to fight a different way, I had to learn, God showed me how to fight a different way. I don't have to fight with my hands. I can fight with my actions. You know what I'm saying? I don't have to go and defend what you say about me or what you think about me or what this, because they're going to talk, because they're going to talk about, they done talked about Jesus, so they're going to talk about us. But at the end of the day, you know, when you learn the power of there is nothing that I can do. I had to say, God, is nothing that you can do that will be far greater than what if I give it to God and let God do it, you know. So and just to continue to do the works, you know, and to walk by faith. And when my sight became hindered and I could no longer see, that gave me a superpower. I said, okay, I don't have to see these fools. I don't have to see it, you know. I can walk by faith and not by sight. Let's just make it plain, you know. I can walk by faith enough because what is faith? Faith is an action word. What is love? Love is an action word. What does that tell you? And the biggest thing that God wants us to know, if you know the word, is we want him to say, well done, our faithful servant. How are we going to serve if we ain't out here doing no work? So like I said, I don't have time to pay attention to the people that's talking because those are the ones that's not doing the work. You know, and I can relate to you, Pastor, because my commitment level through the roof, like, I don't have time. And the more you get committed to do the work and to do the things that you're called, you're going to come against more of the naysayers, more of the that. But if you continue to focus on just what you said and exercise it, commitment, it all ties together like a tree. You have to have humble, be humble, show humility, do the work, have the faith, and exercise your commitment and stand on that. And you become the solution. You know what I'm saying? And that's what's going to get us into those gates. And that's what I'm committed to. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So I just, my spirit is just blessed. It really is.
So let me ask you a question. Will we have you here every Monday at 9 p.m.?
Oh, yes. Yes, sir. Yes, I will be right here. I just got, you know, information about it. I'm new to the whole network, but like I said, I'm truly thankful for, I don't want to call him and his whole broadcast, his whole just opening up everyone to, it just has been a blessing to my life. I've been on the Friday show. Now I'm blessed with this, and it's just truly, it is motivational because it's a great way to start your week. You know, I'm a person that I'm always going and going. I do a lot of things, but you need the motivation because it gives you, I look at like that's church. I tell my pastor, we need to bring back these evening services because I need my ammunition to keep going, you know, because I go to church on Sunday. I can motivate on Monday. Hit me up on Wednesday when I get a little bit weary, you know. So, yes, sir, you
right.
can, you will hear this voice.
We got you.
Amen.
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 How about you y'all from work?
Sunday. Yeah.
We got I want to give y'all some words that goes along with commitment. And I'm going to give about two or three at a time. And I just want y'all to respond to me. It's the word means something to you. These will be synonyms to the word commitment.
Okay.
So dedication, devotion,
mm-hmm.
allegiance.
Dedication, devotion, allegiance. Uh-huh.
What does the word mean? When you hear the word dedication, devotion,
mm-hmm.
allegiance,
mm-hmm.
What those three words? Anybody?
So
when you hear
when I hear dedication, that means something that I'm going to commit to. I'm dedicated to it, so I'm not going to run from it. I'm dedicated mm-hmm. to it, so I'm going to run towards
mm-hmm.
that away.
Okay,
amen.
He said, I like the phrase. He said something he's going to run to. Okay, anyone else?
Mm-hmm.
Anyone
okay.
else? Dedication, devotion, allegiance.
The common factor in them all is a form of commitment. To be dedicated to something, you have to commit to it. Devoted, I'm devoted and giving my all. I'm making a commitment. Allegiance is combining. So I feel like for me,
yes.
in some way, shape,
yes.
or form, all three of those words
together.
Is a symbolization of commitment, because it takes you exercising in some way that action to do all three of those.
Okay. Anybody else? We got much more people on the line. I think all the lines are still open.
Yeah.
Anybody?
I really think a person makes a commitment, for example, to Christ. They don't play around. They're serious. Their focus is on the Lord, and they're supposed to keep going. Same thing with
mm-hmm.
marriage. My husband, I've been married 25 years. We try to commit to each other, but we've had some times when we haven't seen eye to eye, but we still work it out, and we just praise God for his help
Amen.
To keep us like that.
Amen.
That's an example.
So
okay.
is that dedication? Is that devotion? Would you say you are dedicated to your marriage? Devoted to your
yeah.
marriage? And do you have an allegiance for your marriage? That word allegiance. That's another word now. I want y'all to really think about it. Anybody else got a tag on?
Is allegiance fight? Is that fighting for your marriage? Is that fighting, being committed to fight? Is
okay,
that a fight?
It could be. Allegiance is not going to let anything.
You're
going to
come together. You're going to come together in one accord that their allegiance going to
mm-hmm.
come together. You will have that
mm-hmm.
allegiance to come together.
Yeah. And the best example I can give for that is if you ever watch Voltron, they all got allegiance that came together. You know,
that's
Bumblebee,
right.
all
that's
of
right.
them, Ultimate
yeah.
Prime, they all came together.
Our
and
common
they
ground.
Robot, they were inseparable.
They were unstoppable.
You know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. Because
y'all going to be on
yeah.
one accord.
For example,
it says
that
when you come together, it's better
mm-hmm.
together. You got to come
Amen.
Together. You're going to be stronger together. You can't
yes,
be stronger
ma'am.
That's with one. But when you link up that
mm-hmm.
chain together, y'all going to be strong. You going to come
Amen.
Together.
Yeah.
Amen.
Best example
that's
I
That's
like
you
get.
That linking
that's
up together.
That's
on one accord. You're going to come together
yes.
on one accord.
Absolutely.
Yes.
It's a chain. God is the master link, and we are all links that make up the chain. And that's
no,
how it is.
Yes, it is. And together.
Oh, that's fantastic,
chain, yeah.
Six. I liked what you said
that
there.
Is.
That's really
great
good.
Analogy.
Thank you.
Powerful. Yeah.
Amen. That,
well, how about we take a little commercial break here on the 6 hours? We're going to take about three commercial breaks. Give the pastor some time to breathe. This is Motivational Monday with Pastor Bonner here on the 6 Eyes Radio Network. Phone lines are open at 424-243-9617. Now, when we ask for voice and participation, let us hear your voice, because oftentimes when we don't, we hear. So let us hear, because we're asking. Amen. We'll be right back, 6 Eyes Radio Network.
Thank you. There's something about waiting we don't like. We naturally become impatient because we're living in a world where not only do we want it now, we can have it now. But that's not the way it is with God. Do you value God's choice enough to wait?
Hello, I'm Missionary Kenneth Wolfgang.
And I'm Emily Barnum.
And we're Blind Trucking of Ashtabula, Ohio.
Keep your hands on the wheel.
And your eyes on the road.
And we support this program.
Here on the Six Eyes
Radio Network.
The favor of God stops your being manipulated by the circumstances. People say, well, under the circumstances, so-and-so. Well, what are you doing under the circumstances? With the favor of God, you're supposed to be on top of the circumstances. Stop being manipulated by circumstances. Stop worrying about the unknown. Some of you are young and you're worried about the unknown. Stop it. If you have favor with God, it will be well with you. It will be well with your children. It will be well with all you put your hands to, because the favor of God is already in the future, working out the future. Things you don't even know are about to happen. God has already straightened them out in your behalf, because you and you and you are favored of God.
Amen, amen. You are favored of God. How many of you know that the favor of God comes from your level of commitment to Him? Amen.
Amen.
When you commit to God, He's committed to you. That's what that scripture gives us. He, as we commit our works to the Lord, that means we are dedicating what we're doing to God. It says, all you're doing, do as unto the Lord. That means when I'm going to my secular job, I'm working for people, but I'm doing the work as if I was working for God Himself. That means regardless of how they're treating me on my job, whether they're treating me wrong, whether they're treating me right, whether I'm getting the right promotions or not, I'm still going to behave as if I'm working for the Lord. Why? Because God is looking at what I do. So I'm committing my work to Him. And so I'm going to show up on time. I'm going to do all that's asked of me to the best of my ability. When I do wrong, I'm going to take responsibility of my wrong. I think that's one of the biggest challenges for anyone, is to take responsibility for when you mess up. Because just because you're a Christian don't mean you don't mess up. Just because you're saved don't mean you won't do something wrong or not complete an assignment. But when you take ownership of it and do your best to find out what can you do, then you can learn and grow. And that's what it is to be committed. Commitment has nothing to do with you getting everything right, but doing your very best to do right. How many of y'all agree with that statement?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Absolutely.
As two.
Yeah, I do too.
In order to get it right or wrong, in order to get it right or wrong, you have to start.
Yeah.
Amen. So we all are challenged. Amen. We all have those challenges of trying to get right or trying to do right. But oftentimes we have to remember that sometimes we have to learn right. And everything you don't know all the time, just because you are born again believer don't mean you're going to get it right every time. But what it does is grace is there to help you line up with right. So God's grace will be there to help you. So we have to learn that. I'm going to give you a couple more words. Now, I gave you dedication, devotion, and allegiance. I want to give you loyalty, faithfulness. To anybody in the area of commitment, loyalty, to be committed to something means you must have loyal. Loyalty. To be committed to something, you must have faithfulness. But what about that word fidelity? F-I-D-E-L-I-T-Y. Anybody want to deal with that? Anybody want to give your response to fidelity?
Well, fidelity, that's the balance. I mean, that makes up the other two. That's the balance, the fidelity.
Okay. Anybody else? There's no right or wrong. I mean, you got to decide what you think fidelity means. Go ahead.
No, I'm sorry, Beth. You can go ahead. I was just thinking out loud.
That's right.
Nowadays, it's good to talk to people listening, too. That's good to be listened to as well. When talking, I feel like the brother said, it is the balance. And I think the reason why it's such a hard thing sometimes is because people don't really know the meaning of loyalty, number one, to how to be, what that really consists of. It's a word that's thrown around a lot. But, you know, when you don't really know the real definition of that, it's a person that's hard to struggle with that fidelity word, to have that kind of balance.
Okay, well,
fidelity
is faithfulness to a person, cause, or belief. It's demonstrated by a continual loyalty and support.
Yeah.
And also fidelity. We use fidelity when we talk about relationships. So fidelity is me not stepping out on my wife or my wife stepping out on me. We're committed to one another. Fidelity. Y'all feel it?
Yeah.
That's that loyalty. So having fidelity. Amen, somebody. Amen.
Amen.
And so those are words of commitment. And you never knew how powerful commit was in commitment, how far it stretched. And there's still so much more. It deals with bond. Like, you know, commitment is like taking super glue and putting two different together, and then it bonds. There's a commitment now not to let go. So how many of you are bonded? How about these two words, obligation and duty? Obligation and duty. When you think of the
obligation means the commitment to whatever task at hand. And what was the other one?
Duty. D-U-T-Y.
Duty. So whatever it is, it's your duty to fulfill whatever it is. This radio station, it's an obligation of mine, and it's my duty to have programming 365.
Mm-hmm. So a police officer who's on
duty.
Yeah.
To protect and
serve
and to write tickets.
Mm-hmm. His duty is to serve and protect.
Thank God.
When he abused his
Thank
authority
God at the police station,
then
Thank
his
God
commitment
at the God people. That police officer, they got the
Amen.
God.
Okay, let me get this out. So the police officer on duty, he must be committed to fulfilling the obligation of his assignment. So if he's there to serve and to protect, but because his wife is mad at him, his family life is not going well, he can't pull somebody over and take his anger out on them because of his personal life, because his job requires of him something totally different. So he must, his duty cannot be predicated on how he feels and what's going on in his personal life. He has an assignment. So he falls up under what we call responsibility. Right? So to be committed or to have commitment to accept responsibility. And without responsibility, how can you be obligated? Without responsibility.
Excuse me, could you check the lines out? I'm hearing some noise.
Okay. I can mute the lines. I want to keep everybody on so that you can see, right? But if you're in an area where you're in the kitchen or something, that's what it sounds like, somebody in the kitchen, be mindful just to mute your line. Amen. Amen. That way I don't have to monitor the line. Thank you so very much, Kylie.
Thanks for everybody.
Amen. Responsibility. Amen. Obligation.
Amen.
Duty. A tie. When you tie something together, that's a bond. You expect for it to hold. So that's a commitment. You know, if you got a boat and you pull up to the dock and you tie off to one of the stands there and you tie it off, when you come back, you expect for your boat to still be there. Amen. So it's committed to holding a tie, a charge.
Mm-hmm.
I charge you, therefore, by the mercy of God. The Apostle Paul charged Timothy in Timothy 2. He said, I charge you by the mercy of God. He said, do the work of an evangelist. Make it full proof of your ministry. Amen. And so that charge is he gave him a command. He gave him a set of instructions to obligation to uphold. Liberty.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Not liberty, excuse me. Liability. There's a difference between liberty and liability. Liability is to take responsibility. Amen. And so what are you liable for in this world? What, you know, parents are liable for your children. Amen. That's why the Bible said train up a child in the way they should go. So if you're not training your child not to be destructive and they go and destroy somebody's private property, now you got to pay the cost because your children was unruly and you are responsible for them.
Mm-hmm.
All that's under commitment. You're a parent now. So that speaks to the responsibility of parents to parents. And what we have now in our society is a lack of parenting. They're telling you that your child can make this decision and that decision. No, they can't. Your child is to make decisions based on what you teach them and how you teach them. One of the greatest things I was encouraged by is one day my oldest son came in the house. This was back when we were still in Florida. He came in the house, and he was outside playing. And he came in the house. I said, well, why are you in the house? I was like, yeah, man, you came in early. He said, I can't play with him. And he said the little boy name. I said, why, man? You know, I said, you can play with him. I don't care. He said, nah, he just cussed too much, man. Every other word come out of his mouth is cussing. And because we didn't cuss, he didn't hear cussing in our house. He was saying that was an environment that he wasn't comfortable with. But because mm-hmm. we taught him principles, he made a conscious decision, hey, this is somebody I don't want to play with because their behavior is different from the behavior I'm familiar with. So mm-hmm. I said, well, good choice, man. You're showing responsibility of making right decisions. You know, because if his behavior is that way, with this, ain't no telling what else trouble he may get into that mm-hmm. that you may be into because of him. And so you are to train up your child. That's commitment. You must be committed. Every mother, every father has an opportunity to cultivate greatness in their children. That means you don't let your children grow as wild flowers, but you mm-hmm. govern their growth for the better of them. That means you are to look at them, to examine them. There should be no secrets. Your children should not have a password that you do not know. If you bought a tablet, a cell phone that they're using, a video game, that they're using in your home, they should not have a password that you cannot look into. Amen, somebody.
Amen. Well,
that's their privacy. They don't have no privacy. That's your house.
They don't have no privacy. Amen.
Yeah. They don't have no privacy. Yeah. They don't have no privacy.
Yeah.
But, what if in their journal they're writing about, and this is how kids go and commit crime in schools
yeah.
and nobody know about it. They've been writing it down for months, but because nobody read it, because nobody looked into it, the failure of commitment, that child end up committing something that was growing inside of them that was unnurtured.
Absolutely. You're speaking
and
the truth.
And another one closed my door. It ain't your door, it's my door.
That's right. That's you know. My door. That's
exactly.
My door. That's my door.
That's right.
That's right. And that's the problem.
That's
now,
right.
You ain't got nothing in this house. You ain't got nothing in this house. Ain't paying nobody bill.
You ain't got nothing in this house.
None. And got the nerve to be talking about what's yours. And that's true, Pastor. And it's like my regular job is I'm a social worker and I work with at-risk youth, you know. And you are so right. You know, I can't tell you how right on it is. And I just think about a case I had last week. And she's literally 13 years old, you know, and literally had been writing out a whole master plan on her phone the whole entire time. Been right there on her phone, everything she was going to do, but she had, they got this cold, your face cold, your finger cold, and the mom's like, when it was brought to her attention, she's like, well, I didn't know. Well, and then when you sit down and you're talking to her and I'm facilitating, I'm talking,
You have environments where you're in the house, everybody on the phone. You don't sit down with one another. You don't talk. You don't sit. Me, I tell them, I look young. I'm from the old school, honey. I don't play none of that. You, I don't want to see no phone at my table. I don't want to see none of that. And there is no, because you have to be like that. Because when you don't, you're breaking the commitment to your child, and you're so right. And it's happening more and more and more and more. And you have to be committed to know what your child is going
I like the way you said it. You're breaking the, I like the way you said it better. I like what you said better than the way I said it. It's not, as a parent, you're supposed to be committed to raising a child to become a responsible adult. And when you're not seen to their upbringing, then you have broke the commitment. Not no other way around. You have broke your commitment. Well, I didn't ask to be a parent. Well, then you shouldn't have been having sex.
Exactly. I know.
Now, but regardless of how that child came about, once that child came into this world, you had an obligation. We used that word earlier. And by having an obligation and responsibility, then you are to be committed to that, to seeing that through. Even if you feel that you only have to do it until they turn 18, well, you still got something to do. They 13, you got to do what you're supposed to do. It is your job to feed them. It's your job to clothe them. Ain't no sense of your child going to school with no shorts that's shorter than their underwear. Come on.
Okay.
You buy them clothes. Your children don't buy them clothes. You wonder, you know, we got to understand, we live in a world of entertainment. And whatever's advertised, that's what's bought. And if you advertise like a whore, excuse me, y'all, I'm just going to be straightforward.
Make
you
it plain,
like
Pastor. Make it
whore,
plain.
Then you're going to be treated like a whore. But the problem is, that is not music that tell you it's all right to be a whore.
Mm-hmm.
But then you go around and say, don't judge me. So good girls can say, well, don't do that, and you say you're judging. But bad girls can say, do that, and you say, well, it's my choice. It's that is a double standard.
You said that. So, that's not the worst word they use, because they use words worse than that.
But I'm going to remain holy. But so the bottom line on if you have reduced yourself to being less than respectful, then you can't get nothing else. My child ain't got no business going to school showing all their breasts. My son don't have no business going to school with his pants below his butt. No. That ain't the purpose of pants. Pants is to cover your rear end.
Mm-hmm.
So cover it.
And putting it on a belt.
They got on a belt and it be below their rear end. They can have it on a belt. It ain't the belt. Pull your britches up.
Being taught that comes exactly from
what is allowed in their house. If mama and daddy don't say nothing about it, now here's where we have responsibility as onlookers. When I see young men that's dressed well, every now and then I'm compelled to say, hey man, I want to say thank you for being presentable in your dress code. Thank you. That lets me know that there's hope for our future. Because these young men and women, they're going to be our leaders of tomorrow. And so they have to have some morals about them. And if you don't give it to them now, it's not going to stick with them later.
Now, Pastor, can I? So
yeah,
that's kind of interesting. You said that because it was a time when I saw when I had my sight, and it was a situation where this boy, he was getting picked on. He's getting picked on, and I said, "Look, man," I said, "what you can do," I said, "you can get into this gang because it's like they're trying to get into a gang," and I said, "that gang ain't gonna love you back." And before I got ready to say that, I said, "excuse me, man." He's like, "what the?" I said, wait a minute. What you? I said, no. I said, "I'm telling you, the gang ain't what you need to do." He's getting ready to cuss me out. I'm like, "look." I said, "the gang ain't going to love you back." "Yeah, well, these streets. I said, "listen." I said, "you got God? You believe in God?" "Yes." I said, "do you have any older brothers?" "Yes." I said, "well, let that be your gang." I said, "because the minute you get into some trouble, the gang ain't going to be there." You know?
Mm-hmm.
So, like I said, hopefully, you know, the guy's still around, but gangs don't love you back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they don't love you while you're doing the wrong that they're doing.
Yeah,
but trouble hit.
They
want every man for himself.
But they will get you. They will.
Every man for but our job
they will get is you. And they will
when
kill
we
you
see people doing when we see people doing right, it don't hurt us to compliment someone when we see them doing well. It does. However, fortify what they do. When you hear somebody say, "hey, man, good job," that means the world. They may not say nothing then, but it's like a level of clear coat over that paint job to let them know this is where I need to stay.
Right.
Excuse me. Can somebody please mute their mic? Because we're getting all that background noise.
Yeah. Once again, if you got a lot of movement, if you're doing a lot of movement where you are, let's be kind enough to just mute your line until you are ready to speak so that we don't have a lot of background noise so that I don't have to mute and unmute each line as we go. I wanted us to be able to interact with one another without the restraint of locking up the mic. So let's please be mindful of that. Can we work together? Amen?
Yeah.
I wanted this dialogue to be open and free. I wanted everybody to be able to just comment regardless to who's saying what without me just restraining every comment. I know a lot of times we can get excited and want to talk, and we may even talk over one another from time to time. And if that happens, I know how to slow things down. But I wanted us to just to have a good dialogue.
Say something.
So Let's go that. Let's do that. Okay. Go ahead, my sister. Go ahead. Say what you got to say.
No, I was just saying to go off what you were saying about acknowledging, you know, when they're doing good. That's good because especially you never know, because sometimes you don't have the parents in the home, you know, to be able to train or to teach. You have young people that, you know, they're looking to you when you don't know when you're being an example or being an encouragement for someone. And, you know, for me, that was my story. You know, I didn't have my parents. My parents were incarcerated, and that was why I turned to gangs. But it took somebody, and I'm a firsthand witness, they don't have your back, you know. And it was something that it took me to watch both of my brothers lose 44 years at 15 years old. To see that the gang wasn't going to have your back, you know what I mean?
But one thing I could say was it took, and I apologize for rolling something up, but it was a guidance counselor, you know, that was the very first person to say something in you, you know, to say something positive. So all of us, you know, sometimes you don't realize that you play a part in making an impression on a young person's life. So the more you do see someone doing something that's young and encouraging, you know, just saying that, you don't know how that can affect them, or looking back, you know, because my guidance counselor never knew the impression she made on my life, you know, which caused me to be like, okay, you know, think about it years later, you know. So I definitely just wanted to say that that does make a world of difference.
Absolutely.
And that's true.
Absolutely.
Amen.
And like I said, go
ahead, bro.
I hope that young man listened, because like I said, it was initiation. He was trying to, you know, you had to like beat somebody up. And
yeah.
I'm like, come on, man. I said, now, you know, after he cussed me out, I mean, because you heard the sensors going off. That was him cussing me each time. And I said, wait a minute, man. I said, you got any brothers or sisters? You got brothers. I said, then you let that be your game. I said, if somebody is trying to hurt you, you got your brothers, you got your sisters. Your sister even get in there and fight for you. I said, let that be your thing. I said, because if you go and beat this person up, that gang ain't gonna see you when you get in trouble.
I won't.
If you get locked up, that gang ain't gonna put no money. Money on the books?
Not money on your books, not a dime. Yeah,
you ain't gonna be able to get no.
And all your loyalty in the world ain't gonna matter.
Yeah, none of that stuff. So like I said, it's just my prayer that he never got in that gang, and he made something out of his life. Like I said, this is when I was able to see. And that's all I wanted to say.
And our job is, you know, you never know what words stick to a person. The Bible says, one plant, another watering, but God give the increase. So in life, your assignment today might be planting. In other words, is this your job to sow seeds?
Mm-hmm.
And then later on, it may be somebody else's job to come and water the seeds that you planted. So what I'm saying is you may not see the finished product, but the assignment that God gives you, that you hold on to that assignment. There's many people I've ministered to that I didn't see all the benefits or the process of the things that happened. I can remember one day we was in Jackson at Barn Hill, Keisha, and you and my sister-in-law went to the restroom, and me and Calhoun was still sitting at the table. And this young lady came up to the table and said, "You remember me?" And I looked at him like, "Doc, I don't know what he's talking about." No. and I'm like, I was looking for you. I said, I don't need no drama. No mistake. So I was really she says, from Greater Community, North Memphis location. And I said, okay. She said, "You prophesied to me one Friday night, and you told me," and she told us both what I said. And she said, "I just want you to know, I went on to school. It was paid for, just like you said. All of this, I just want to say thank you that God used you to speak into my life, because it helped me make the right decisions." And she went on. I said, well, thank you. Thank you for to let me know. I sure appreciate it. And she walked away. I was like, boy, and Calhoun said, well, I thought she was going to say you, she your daughter, son. I said, nah, look, I know who I am.
Pastor said, I'm not the father.
When it comes to this person, you are the father.
You are the father. But you never know.
You never know.
And by us being in Jackson, miles away from Memphis, you know, it was real shocking. But you never know when you follow through the God plan, you never know who you bless and how effective it is until years later. I used to be a children minister, and I was that kind of children minister where I used to tell them, I said, ain't nobody can beat me. I said, well, I beat you and sit here and wait on your daddy. And I was just as hard on them. And I had one little boy, he was defiant like that. And I said, boy, I promise you, I'm going to whoop you and wait on your daddy. I said, tell your daddy to come right here and meet me. I ain't going nowhere. I said, but if you come in this class, I'm going to beat you right here with that belt. I took that belt off. And the other kids told him, say, he ain't playing. He will beat you. He ain't playing. I had certain parents that had already gave me permission that if their children step out of line, deal with them. And so it wasn't that I was just doing something just to be doing something, but I was just reaffirm boys to be respectful because we had a lot of women teachers, and so I made them respectful. When the report card came around, I made them bring me their report card, show me their grades, and I told them, I said, this is unacceptable. And so I can remember one young man in particular. He finally started making C's and B's, and he was so excited that he didn't have no failing grade. He was really excited that his grades turned around, and he was saying, "Brother Bonnie, I just want to let you know, man, my report card looked good." He was excited to bring it to me, and the parents, they would come tell me, say, "Whatever you doing, keep doing, because my child behavior is better." But because I used to challenge them to be better, but I asked them. And then I used to give them opportunity to ask me stuff, and I would answer questions. And so God gave me what to do with that group. And because God gave me what to do, and because I carried out that assignment, and I was faithful to it, God gave me favor with the children like that. And so I seen positive change. I've had to cast the devil out one child. Where the child literally began to speak in another voice, all that other stuff. I've been there where we sitting there praying and ministering with people that been demonically oppressed because of what was going on in their homes. So you don't know what it means to truly be committed until you are committed and you begin to see change. And that does something to you because it makes you not want to move because you know that it's worth it in the end.
Yeah.
Every great athlete that we have ever praised for in any sport, the thing that made them great is not their skill by itself, but their commitment to perfecting their skill. They had to be committed to it. They had to They had to get up with it on their mind. They had to go to bed with it on their mind. They had to think about it at lunchtime. They had to think about it throughout the day. They had to make it part of their life. Every great athlete that we've prayed had to commit to the process of their sport and do it with all that they had. And so what if we as a people, and I know we are getting close to the end of the program now, what if we as a people would truly be committed to serving God the way he wants us to serve him?
It could be the biggest blessing to your life. No, it really can. I just, you know, I get emotional every time I think about it, because when you really truly learn that and you embrace that, it is the greatest thing that you can ever experience. And it lets you know that everything that you went through wasn't in vain. You know what I mean? Because at the end of the day, God can truly use anybody. You don't have to be perfect. And if you could be committed to being the best version of you, because God created you, so he don't make no mistakes. And it takes us some time to realize that we got to do it our way. But the day that you really know that you're doing what God has called you to do, and you get those stories like you did, Pastor, of that young lady who said she did what you, you know, you prayed for her and she did that. For me, coming from where I come from, being a menace to now be able to lose my sight and to be able to accomplish everything that I've accomplished. I recently shared, and I think I shared on the 6th, I had a lady who reached out to me because I don't sleep at nighttime. Those be my business hours because I just be so busy during the day. And this young lady was 22 years old, and she had reached out to me and she had told me she was thanking me. She was thanking me because she had been following me for quite some time, and I make my life public, and I'm very, very open about everything I've been through. But for her to tell me that she's grateful to me and she thanked God for me because I gave her the ability to want to live, that is one of the most powerful things to have ever been told in my life. Because I look at my life, and I was like, right then and there, I began to get emotional like I am now, because you don't know my story.
All right.
And to be able to now, you know, and God is able to have someone be to live, that's powerful. So you don't know. But it helps you get through some of the hardest times. You know, if you just keep being committed to do what God has called you to do, that those blessings are greater than the sacrifice.
Amen. Amen. Brother Charles, if you would, we're at the end of our time, and if you would like to give information of those that like to sow into the radio station, give them that opportunity to sow into the radio station, give them the information that they need.
Okay.
That would be greatly appreciated. I want to say thank you before you give that to everyone that dialed in tonight. Thank you for your time. I value your time, man. We're at the end of our time, and I don't want to just go over. So I want to say thank you. This is a great topic to talk about, commitment, something that you may be able to talk about in your own personal circles with your friends, family members, and so on, about commitment. You don't have to make it so, quote unquote, spiritual, but make it real. The thing about being spiritual is being understanding that to be spiritual, truly spiritual, is really to live life like God intended from the beginning. And that don't make you better than anybody. It simply make you who God designed you to be. And understanding that he said, before I formed you, I knew you. You know, he said, so before God formed us, you know, and I'm encouraged. God said that, he said, I know my thoughts towards you, declare the Lord, thoughts of good and not of evil, to give you an expected end. That means God has something good for all of us. But we have to be committed to doing it his way so that we can receive the good things that he has in store for us. So thank you again for joining in on the Six Eyes Motivational Monday with yours truly, Pastor Kenneth Bonnet. Thank you so very much. It is my pleasure. Download the program. And Brother Six will give you all that information at this moment. Go ahead.
All right. Motivational Monday with Pastor Kenneth Bonnet. Every Monday, 8 Central, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific. Motivational Monday with Pastor Kenneth Bonnet on the 6 Eyes Radio Network. Put this number in your phone right now. 424-243-9617 for you Android users. 424-243-9617. Apple users, 424-243-9617. Also, make sure you like and join the Six Eyes Radio Network page. Join, J-O-I-N, the Six Eyes Radio Network page. Like us on iHeartRadio by downloading the iHeart app. In the search, type in Six Eyes, S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, space radio, R-A-D-I-O. Same for the Apple users. In the search, type in Six Eyes Radio. And press follow. You'll have us on demand 7 days a week. And to give a contribution to the Six Eyes Radio Network, you have two options. If you use the PayPal platform, the email address you're send it to would be S as in Sam, I as in Ice, X as in X-Ray, E as in Edward, Y as in Yogurt, E as in Edward, S as in Sam, the numeric 6 at gmail.com. And for the Cash App users, that would be $SIXEYES, the digit 2, the digit 4. Once again, for Cash App users, that's $SIXEYES, the digit 2, the digit 4. And we thank you. You just enjoyed the Six Eyes Radio Network, Motivational Monday, with Pastor Kenneth Bonnet.
And once again, now by the grace of God and the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit, may he rest, rule, and abide with each one of us here, now, forever. May we have traveling mercy as we travel to and forth to our individual destination to do the things that we have been assigned to do. God, give us rest as we close our eyes tonight, Lord God, and allow us to be restored in health and strength. We thank you, Lord God, for all that you've done and all that you're yet to do. We thank you for this programming. We thank you for programming like this. And we just continue to ask you, Lord God, to help us to do our assignment. And as you do it, God, we say thank you. Thank you for entrusting us. Thank you for using us. We love you. Thank you for loving us first and teaching us how to love you back. In Jesus' name we pray. Thank God. Amen and amen. God bless each of y'all.
Amen.
Good night. And good night.